first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 123. What a lovely number.
Is it going to be some sort of a Sesame Street theme? Fact?
No,
but... One,
let's hope the show is as easy as ABC and simple as Do Re Mi.
Precisely.
To paraphrase the Jackson 5. Now, 123.
Who's here today, Mike?
Who's here today? Well, I was going to get on to that, but thanks for not. We've got Sean Locke with us, of course, Andy Franks. We've got Dan Silver, and joining us soon will be Cheeky Cockney Connor Self, who, if you listened last week, you were introduced to his highbrow ways and intelligent conversation.
Well, I must have missed that.
He is an authentic Cockney, though, so we'll let him off. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Robbie Keane missed out on moving off 123 caps by missing Ireland's 2-2 draw with Austria last night, but he's in quite good company. On 123 caps, because Thierry Henry also has 123 caps for France, although he's now retired. Interesting.
No, Michael, I'm going to have to call you up on that, mate, because I'm sorry, but you said he missed out on cap number 123.
Well, I'm going to go on. No, he missed out on cap number 124.
Ah,
sorry.
Well, learn to describe better.
Thank you, Dan. But what I'm almost certain you don't know is that the second most capped English-born player of all time has 123 caps. Do you know who that is? Of course you do.
I bet he never played for England.
Of course he doesn't. He plays for Singapore. And his name is Daniel Bennett, 35-year-old defender, born in Great Yarmouth. Played for Wrexham briefly between 2001 and 2003. And 123 caps means he's earned more international caps than David Beckham, Billy Wright, Bobby Moore, Bobby Charlton. No, he's two behind Shilton.
But by the end, what position does he play?
He plays in defence.
Do with a defender.
Well, yeah. One that plays in the Singaporean league. He's probably about fifth choice at the moment, given the injuries. But
there you go.
By the end of the year, he'll probably be the most capped Englishman of all time, albeit not playing for England. So
I like that, Michael.
Fair play to Daniel Bennett. Well, we'll start with the internationals. England,
yeah.
Mixed week.
I don't want to talk about it, to be honest.
Well,
was it
that bad? I mean, it was. There's been a lot of talk about the
outspent
well,
let's start with Friday night.
I didn't see any football games on Friday night. I saw a playground kickabout. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Honestly, England would have been... they would have had a harder game against Brentford than they did against San Marino.
Literally. Completely, because Brentford are professional footballers. They would have had a harder game against quite a lot of non-league sides in England.
At least we knocked eight past them, so, you know, job done.
It's ridiculous.
Job done in that respect.
For me, it proves the fact that there should be pre-qualifiers in Europe. They have them everywhere else, similarly sized confederations.
That brings on nicely to the San Marino Twitter feed.
Oh, the summary. I haven't, but I've heard.
I don't think, Michael, that you're giving San Marino enough respect.
Well,
I don't think
give
you
me
are.
The point.
And on that note, do you see that San Marino FA got so upset with ITV's coverage?
Yeah.
How that they weren't giving them enough respect that they started attacking them on Twitter. They actually tweeted the FA. But at FA, you should do something with this ITV's arrogant, ignorant and rude comments and coverage about us, San Marino. And then it was another one. Stop patronising about our team, San Marino, at ITV. This is just sheer ignorance. And again, I think at half time, at ITV Football, shame on you again. And then a final one of ITV should think it more wisely while mocking with San Marino. Shame on you, ITV. This is just disgraceful.
So they're as good at speaking English as they are at playing football, it seems.
Going back to San Marino, but just on the San Marino Twitter feed again, did you see that after the 1-1 draw last night, they actually tweeted ITV going, what happened, ITV? So the San Marino FA are actually trolling ITV on
fair
Twitter
enough,
now,
fair enough. Is, let's send Curtis Woodhouse.
And to be fair, San Marino did score on Friday night. It was just a bank club.
It was great finish, wasn't it?
It was a cracking finish.
I don't mean to disrespect San Marino, but let's face it, a nation of that size are never going to challenge to get into an international tournament.
No.
It's not even as if... Say, look at Albania at the moment. Albania are flying. I've got the league table here. They are currently... third in Group E.
Behind
Iceland, who are also, but they're minnows. They have improved unspeakably over the years, Albania.
Actually, that qualifying
nations
group.
Like, Slovenia, who got to the last World Cup, are bottom of that group. These nations, like Albania, they're big enough to actually progress and maybe one day qualify.
True.
San Marino, Andorra, Liechtenstein, Faroe Islands are not. They'll never have the facilities.
The argument to that is... the San Marino players, they said it was one of the biggest nights of their lives.
So?
Who are we to decide whether we should
take that opportunity when there's loads of players playing in the lower leagues who'll never get the opportunity to play internationally? Look at a confederation like Africa, all the tiny nations there have to qualify. The Gambia don't automatically get in, they have to qualify. Cape Verde, they've had to go through qualifying and they finally got somewhere. Looks like they're going to get nowhere near the World Cup, but they got to the African nations. But
I'm playing devil's advocate. I agree,
I'm sure it is nice, and you do get the occasional result, like Luxembourg beat Switzerland the other year, the Faroe Islands are beating Austria. But surely, if they had to pre-qualify, they've got more chance of picking up a result and improving their FIFA rankings. Because San Marino aren't the worst nation in the world, they're just the worst in Europe and therefore never get a result. But
The Montenegrins, they've got less of a population
than
England has of professional football.
Yeah. We're professional or semi-professional.
Yeah. But I mean, Montenegro is hardly a massive country with a big population.
Montenegro's, but it's much bigger than San Marino. San Marino have about 50,000 people. It's about the size of Northwich.
I would say one of the reasons that San Marino is doing so badly is because their attitude in actually... attempting to go out and actually score a goal, win a match.
Yeah, but they don't
is so
know,
bad.
But they don't stand a chance against a team like England. I'm sure they're more attacking when
well,
they play
you might as well go and have a go.
But there's no way they can have a go, because if they had a go, England would keep the ball so much better that as soon as they tried to attack England, get the ball back, as you saw. Every time they got the ball, England won it back within 10 seconds.
Well, that's because they literally hoofed it down the pitch as soon as they got it.
Yeah, but that's all they could do. If they tried to play football, they would be beasted even more. You see it time and time again in the Cup. Look at Blackburn this year. Soaked up the pressure from Arsenal and nicked a goal. They couldn't have gone and played football against Arsenal because they're not good enough.
So why didn't San Marino soak up the pressure and nick a goal?
They tried to. I mean, they had eight men behind the ball most of the time.
They did let eight goals
also,
in.
Also,
they gave us a head start.
That shows how bad they are. They tried to soak up the pressure and they couldn't.
As bad as they are, though, Ashley Young's strike, what a strike. That's a cracker.
Oxlade-Chamberlain danced through the defence and Wayne Rooney scored a nice free kick. And Daniel Sturridge celebrated like he'd scored against Brazil. Yeah. Points out, what a fucking idiot. Really? I mean, what a moron.
There's a hidden agenda
here.
It just
looked ridiculous. It was just embarrassing. Right, it might be that I was so drunk when I was watching it on Friday night and sleep deprived that I've carried on that anger whenever I think about it.
Daniel, if you're listening, don't worry about it.
He's not listening. He's probably off doing a silly little point to the sky after scoring in training against the under-13s, Michael Owen style.
Speaking of shit though, let's talk about Scotland for a minute.
Oh, Bonnie Scotland. In a way, it's unfortunate they are the first European nation to officially fail to qualify ahead of San Marino and Andorra.
This was from a quote taken from the Scottish Sun today, I think it was. Scotland last night sunk to an all-time low as we officially became the worst in the world.
Not quite.
I know. We're just 2 points from a possible 18. We are out in capital letters of the World Cup after 6 qualifiers. Even more embarrassingly, football minnows such as Andorra, San Marino, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, the Faroe Islands and Malta are technically still in.
Yeah, well, it's a very base way of looking at it because obviously Scotland are in a different group. They've picked up more points than a lot of other nations in 2, which is still terrible. Absolutely terrible, but
it is pretty funny. They
were a bit unfortunate on Friday night against Wales. They should have been clearing that.
One of the lads I work with, Dave Mallard, he was watching it. I nearly texted him at half time when they were 1-0 up. going, oh, well, do you reckon he can hold on? I'm glad I didn't, because he's actually my boss, and it'll probably end up making me in a lot of trouble. But I said, how was it? And he just went, utter shit.
Well,
I said, it was an awful game of football, and Wales weren't too bad, Scotland were awful.
I work for a Scottish newspaper, and I'm yet to hit anything from any of my Scottish counterparts about it.
Anything positive, or anything at all?
Anything at all, nobody's mentioned the football.
Funny that.
You just wouldn't, would you?
But,
why would you?
It's unfortunate. Scotland, Gordon Strachan's got a big job on his hand rebuilding Scotland. They're going to need, it's going to be...
He's probably the right man for the job as
he
well.
Probably so he probably is, he's inherited a poor team in a poor position.
Poor morale.
If they'd won on Friday, then possibly they would have gone on to get a result against Serbia because it would have carried him over, but they didn't.
So I was getting on all over Twitter last night, and Mr. Salmon, our friend of the show.
All right, mate.
He really kept me entertained last night with his his update to the Scotland game and just how depressing. He actually sounded suicidal at one point. He was actually hoping for a natural disaster or some form of Godzilla to come onto the pitch and end it earlier just to stop the pain.
Yeah.
But it must say, it kept me very much entertained last night.
Well, none of the home nations, I'd say, would come out of the last few days happy, especially if you include the fans.
So, last night was... it was bizarre for me, in a way, because it was... The first half, we didn't half come out, and we played well.
Yeah. It's the classic Svenja Eriksson. First half good, second half not so good.
Well, it's not even the classic Svenja Eriksson.
Well, no, that was his quote, though, famously.
Actually, we outplayed them in the first half. We won. Yeah. We were much better than in the first 45 minutes. But actually, in the second 45 minutes, they were better than us than we were in the first half. I think we deserve to lose the game.
I wouldn't go quite that far because we played for five minutes at the end. Yeah.
Because we'd lost the goal and we suddenly realised that
we also defended quite resolutely against the onslaught.
I disagree with
Joe
that.
Joe Hart performed well. I don't think the defence will
bad. Joe Hart did not perform well at all. All of the saves he made were right at him, other than the header at the end, which was a good save.
Yeah, you're as angry as me.
In the second half, Joe Hart consistently put all of his goal kicks into the stands.
He did it three kicks in a row.
It's really windy. It wasn't windy. It was fucking useless. Jolien Lescott was not quick enough, that's the problem. He was flapping about every clearance, he was getting anything on it.
Chris Smalling
on the edge of his own area, intercepting a header,
that went out for a corner.
I was like, come on.
I'm not going to defend England's performance last night because he was absolutely terrible.
You can't say it was absolutely terrible because we were good in the first half. Rooney's chip was a moment of class.
It was literally sex.
A moment of class, and the game would have been very different if that had gone in. But it didn't go in.
And Welbeck's penalty. And it was a pen.
It was a Stonewall pen.
Yeah, it was definitely.
But these things happen. I don't think it's all as bad as everyone says, because England, like Hodgson says, qualification is still in our hands. We've got 3 out of 4 remaining games at home. You would expect us to maybe, I would say, I reckon 9 points would win us the group from the last 4 games.
I've lost confidence in Hodgson's ability to actually make the decisions at the right time. He's cleverly lost his way in the game. He was lost on the pitch. He needed replacing. You've got someone like Lampard sitting on the bench who would have come on and calmed him down.
It was the timing of the substitution is one of the most questionable things. Why did he run the cost of 20 minutes? Is he the only one not seeing what everyone else I've spoken to has seen? Hodgson's come out and said he felt
there was nowhere that it could be improved. Maybe he was trying to hold on a bit too much.
Cleverly wouldn't go that far. I'm not saying that's his fault.
Cleverly works hard, but it's bypassed.
Right, and again, what I said last night whilst watching the game, again, loving a bit of Twitter at the moment, was what I said and got quite a few people clearly agree with me, is that what I felt England were lacking in the centre midfield, as my old man used to say, was a bit of arsehole. And then a bit of steel.
We had Stephen Gerrard in there. We had Tom Cleverley. They're both arseholes.
And Michael Carrick.
You can't call Michael Carrick an arsehole. He's a nice, I'm assuming, bloke. You don't have a daft haircut.
They've got no. There's no grit. There's no grrr about them, is there?
No.
I think, as much as I, with the Spurs hat off, I love.
He wasn't there for selection.
But then at least, but even Parker. Even Parker, again, and not... Just in a three-man midfield, you need someone that's going to do the
problem
the
is, I
can I also
that,
say,
now,
we were
so,
outnumbering
sorry,
them.
Wait,
we were three against their two in the centre of the park in the second half.
I'm sorry, I have to say, but I think it's a very English way of looking at it, because look at any other nation on the planet, and they don't have a bit of arsehole in the midfield, unless they're poor. Go on, who does? France, don't they have someone who's skilled in midfield? Spain, don't they have someone who's skilled in midfield?
Well, Busquets.
And Xabi Alonso. Dirty bastards.
They're not dirty bastards at all. They're good footballers. They're like Michael Carrick. They intercept. They don't tackle.
Busquets and Carrick are the same player.
You wouldn't put Busquets in there with David
Michael.
In the style of play.
Bloody ridiculous.
In the style of play. You know what I mean? They're not David Batty's.
No, I'm not saying you
do
need
we want
David
Batty
no,
again?
No,
do we want
no, no,
Wilshere
we
is the best option because
this is what I mean. Someone
because
got
he has a bit of drive. But,
a bit of arsehole. Thank you. Can you use this correctly?
But Gerrard and Cleverley are both capable of that, and they both worked hard last night. Yeah, they are exactly.
Cleverley was muscled off the ball every time he got it. His first touch let him down a lot. You should have had Lampard in there half an hour to go.
Welbeck's first Welbeck was quality first half, I thought, and he fizzled out. It was just bizarre. It was so weird to see the first half and second half was just.
But we'll move on from England because it's depressing me quite a bit.
Actually, I will say though,
losing faith in Roy Hodgson is absolutely ridiculous. We've lost one game under him.
No, I think you said
and
losing
still
faith in his ability
to make the right decisions.
But I think he will. Are we the only nation? Are we the only nation in the world though that can't have an off night? That's.
Well, we've had three off nights. We've got three pretty bad draws in this qualifying campaign.
A draw away at Poland in a rearranged game when it's soaking wet isn't a bad result. Ukraine was a bad result. Montenegro away, I don't think it's that terrible a result. They're a good nation.
Can we mention something about the atmosphere last night? I have to say, what a hostile environment.
Well, there you go, exactly.
No, I mean, what a place to go and play a game of football.
Their own fans are beating the shit out of each other before the kick-off.
That was absolutely insane. I've never seen that before.
God, they sound like West Ham, don't they?
But standout performance of the week has got to be the absolute mad Montenegran who had a microphone.
Who had
the whole game. He must have a sore throat this morning. That's what I'm going to say about that. But what
absolute nutcase.
Good effort.
Better than our fucking band, innit?
I'd like to see us try that. And
just have the stupid band, don't
with
we?
With all the fucking paper balls being thrown at people all the time. That would, I mean, you know, if that was going on in England, they'd be uproar, wouldn't they?
Oh, well. But we'll move on. Like I said, England's depressing me. A few other home nations didn't have that good night either. Wales losing. Gareth Bale apparently capitulating in front of goal on numerous occasions.
He missed a couple, didn't he?
He did, but he did score a penalty. But they were unfortunate, I think, to concede a late goal against Croatia. I mean, that group looks tied up for Croatia and Belgium now. They're miles ahead.
Okay, well, let's just very quickly look at the groups there's nothing that funny about it, to be honest.
Belgium and Croatia are, what now?
Two horse race.
7 points ahead of Serbia. Nine points ahead.
How good's your maths?
Sorry, I'm reading it quickly. I have a degree from a top university, mate, I'll have you know, just not in maths. Italy beat Malta last night. Balotelli, he scored four in two games.
But Italy are looking like they're going to run away with it, but then the other three are still in contention.
It's interesting, though. Denmark are struggling. And they've got the likes of Victor Fischer and Christian Eriksen who could miss out on the World Cup.
Never write Czech Republic off either.
But they've got a game in hand against Bulgaria in second.
It's close. Republic of Ireland, like I said, drew a last minute goal against Austria.
They're still
in the race for a
playoff
place.
That's very close.
Yeah. But I mean, Germany are flying.
You would fancy Sweden to nick that still, even though Ireland got a very good result there on Friday.
Netherlands again.
Holland always come through qualifying well. They're like Germany. Yeah. They would just win and win and win. I'm quite looking forward. I'm hoping Hungary can hold on because it's been years since they've been in time. I think 86 was the last World Cup Hungary were at. Big footballing pedigree.
Group
great.
B's a boring group, isn't it?
No, I think it's more exciting. I want to see the smaller nations get through.
But Group E is, I mean, any of those four can go through.
Any of them can go through,
Well, I wouldn't even rule out with half
Iceland,
the games to go. I wouldn't rule out Cyprus yet.
I would.
Half a group
to
go.
Chilling.
Why not?
Because it would be a miracle, wouldn't
it? They got a draw.
You say let's not rule them out.
Why not? They got a draw from Switzerland. They're on a similar footing to a lot of the other nations in that group.
They're on 4 points with a -4 goal difference. They're not actually going to do it, are they?
You never know.
No, well, I do.
Hey, fair enough. We'll differ on opinions.
Get nowhere near.
No, because I don't think they will qualify. I'm not saying, what do you mean by nowhere near? Do you mean finishing outside the top four? Because that would be near. All right, I'll take a fiver on that.
All right.
Go on, pubcast bet.
Well, I've just seen that, so I can confirm that someone's going to have to pay out on that.
Yeah. There we go, yeah, Group F. Russia Northern Ireland was called off. Have you heard
Israel
about what
have
you... Well, yeah, they have.
Israel nearly beat Portugal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Israel beat Northern Ireland. Have you heard what happened? Have you heard what happened?
I haven't.
Northern Ireland were hoping that their secret weapon would be the weather against Israel, because obviously it snowed a lot.
Secret weather weapon.
Russia, the game was called off. They hoped Israel wouldn't be able to deal with it. But Israel coach Eli Gutman was wise to that. He saw his players shivering in training, so he sent their kit man out with £500 to go around Belfast buying as much thermal clothing as possible.
Brilliant.
So when it came to the match, they all had their tights and they had their gloves and their hats and their snoods and their everything else, and they won 2-0. Even though, by all accounts, Northern Ireland were the better team.
Now that is a manager that knows what he's doing.
This?
Yeah. There we go. But yeah, again, Group G looks quite a similar one. Small nations. Yeah. Bosnia could reach their first World Cup since the end of the Yugoslavian Republic. I mean,
it's kind of. I mean, it's between the top three, really.
Well, yeah, I'd love to see Bosnia qualify. I just like seeing new teams in World Cups. That's why I'd love it if Iceland or Albania could sneak their way through.
Iceland, I can't believe Iceland.
Even Montenegro. I'd love to see Montenegro sneak through or be in second place. And
absolutely.
Then
it is unbelievable. I mean, we don't really appreciate the fact that
it's the closest group, our group,
without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, Poland or Ukraine have got the games in hand. One of them wins, they're a point behind
You've got four nations of tournament calibre in there as well, which is what makes it all the more difficult. I don't think there's any other group, with the exception of maybe Scotland's group, and even then I think you're pushing it with, I suppose Group B actually. But yeah, I mean, it's an excellent group. And Group I, Spain, winning in France last night.
Yeah, they needed that.
Did you see how dodgy the goal was as well?
No, Pedro, wasn't
really
it?
Really lucky. Yeah, came back up.
Looking further afield, outside of Europe, there's been qualifiers going on as well. It is a World Cup.
There's nothing funny about that.
CONCACAF are still very close. I mean, there's 3 points separating all six teams in that group. Albeit three games in Panama, top of the group, could qualify for the first World Cup. And, of course, Jamaica, who I've supported in the past, hoping they'll do well.
It's your Jamaican roots, isn't it, Michael?
It is, yes. I am originally from Kingstown. South America, Argentina got a draw in Bolivia, which I think not a great result, but bearing in mind they lost 6-1 there in the last set of qualifiers. They've improved by 5 goals. So, again, that's looking quite close. There's seven of the nine teams still make it through. Venezuela trying to get to the first World Cup.
How did Uruguay get on, Michael?
Uruguay got beat 2-0 by Chile.
Did they?
They did. Why?
Did you see what happened, Michael?
No.
Ah, did you not see Luis Suarez being a naughty boy? He's been a naughty boy. the cameras picked it up. I mean, it's been debate, was it a punch, was it not? Well, it kind of was.
Is he a twat, is he not? Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah, exactly. Chile's Gonzalo
Jara, formerly of West Brom.
Quite right. I think it was a free kick coming in, because I've only seen the short clip of about 15 seconds, but he's got his arms wrapped round Suarez. You know, classic, in the box, somebody's coming in, you know, defender's a naughty boy for putting his arms around him. But then, instead of sort of pushing him away, Suarez sort of swings a little right jab with his right hand into his face.
Oh, nasty piece of work.
He's always been capable of it, isn't he?
I mean,
he's not that kind of player.
Hara, didn't go down, didn't make a fuss of it. Like, I'd like to think, you know, a bit of a hard-ass centre-back, as he should. But there's a little jab from Suarez, and it's a little bit naughty, and it'll probably get picked up, to be honest.
Well, let's hope he gets a ban.
Yeah.
Horrible person. Elsewhere in the world, Oceania and New Zealand have qualified.
Oceania, is that near anywhere near Oceania and Kingston?
It's one of
Leeds
as well, actually.
Great club.
Closed down.
Which one?
Someone got stabbed there.
Where?
No,
Oceania.
Closed down. Yeah.
Never.
Anyway,
I spent back on
the football. It used to be options. That's when I went.
This is the debate about why should nightclubs be allowed in the World Cup. But, New Zealand have become the first nation to qualify for the continental playoffs. Oh. They're going to go on and play the winner from North America, or the fourth place team from North America, so whoever qualifies for that. Tahiti, who won the last Oceania Championship, and therefore are in the Confederations Cup against Spain
summer. You've lost me, Michael.
They finished joint bottom of the group, but Tahiti are going to play Spain in the Confederations Cup. That is going to end in tears.
probably.
Asia, Uzbekistan.
Oh my God, are we still going?
Yeah, no, I'm going
qualifiers?
Through because we can talk about Australia and we know we've got
well,
a lot of Aussies.
World Cup,
oh, it's a World Cup.
All right.
Uzbekistan on the verge of qualifying for their first World Cup. They need a couple more wins. I really hope they get through because I've got an Uzbeki mate. Japan missed out on being the first nation to actually qualify through qualifying after losing to Jordan. Why are models allowed in the World Cup? We won't know. Australia at home to Oman, 2-0 down against Oman.
Really?
205th in the world. Tim Cahill and Brett Holman saved them. Finished 2-2.
I actually saw highlights of that on Sky Sports News this morning. Two good goals.
Things
two very good goals.
From,
Cahill and who was the last one?
Holman.
Holman, yeah.
Things
yeah,
are
yeah.
looking precarious
really good
for
goals.
Australia because even if they get into the playoffs, they're going to have to face a team from South America. And at the moment in that group, they are on 6 points, as are Oman. Jordan are on 7 and Iraq are on 5. It's getting tasty.
So they've got to get into the second spot to qualify,
yeah.
have they?
They do. And Africa, not much happened in Africa. There was one round of games. Nobody big looks that precarious. Apart from Ghana.
Was that the snow?
There was the snow.
Was it affected by the
yeah.
snow?
Well, the weather did Nightmare. Have effect.
Actually, on the weather,
and it had
I'd like to bring this to your attention.
Bloody brilliant. Well, that's a tenuous
to anyone,
link.
To anyone listening, I'm showing... I'm showing Michael and Dan a picture of the Brentford team bus, which was stuck in the snow in Sheffield last Saturday. So, for anyone who might follow League One football, Brentford were playing away at Sheffield United. They had to travel up on the Friday night because the game was scheduled to be live on Sky midday.
This is why the game didn't happen, not because of the actual pitch, but because I couldn't actually get there.
Well, I mean, they definitely couldn't get out of the car park. So you've actually got members of the team squad pushing the bus. Now, apparently it took 25 minutes for them to get the bus out of the car park.
I really wished... And I don't mean to sound horrible, but one of them got injured just so it could be another one of those classic footballing injuries like Richard Wright falling out the loft or Steve Howie tripping over his dog.
But it was a frustrating weekend, wasn't it?
A lot of games
were called
off. I was just
going
to say, moving on to the lower leagues, there wasn't a lot that happened, really. Do you know what was brilliant, though? Back onto the Twitter business, that Derby County's official Twitter feed tweeted at some point on Saturday. I sat at home fucking about and went, we've noticed that there's some fans accumulating outside the ground. There is no game today. It's an international weekend. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Like some actual Derby County fans. And the fact that...
I'd like to think Tom Fogg, our friend, is
I
a
really
Derby fan,
hope
was
he
there.
There's no game this weekend, lads. But thanks for turning up at the ground. We'll see you next week.
Well, elsewhere in the Football League, we're going to talk about Gillingham for a change.
Not really.
Well, no, it's not about Gillingham on
they
the
got
pitch.
A home
we
win.
Don't care. They got a home win against Accrington Stanley.
They did.
But fair play to Paul Scally, the chairman, who we know Jim Staples isn't the biggest fan of.
Is he not?
All the time. Well, he's had a few emails.
I'm a big fan of his
kit.
Nickname. Oh, it's a nickname of his surname.
Yeah.
Called Scally. What a Scally.
He's perfect.
Scallyway.
But, no. 28 Accrington fans travelled
from the blizzard
in the north to Gillingham. Really great effort. Port Scally was following the game in Dubai, where I guess he lives, the rich bastard, and was heartened by this. So he called the club during the game and arranged for each fan to get burger and chips and a tea on Gillingham for making the effort to come and watch their team lose. If I were a Gillingham fan, I'd be thinking, why the fuck's he not doing that for them once? But no, that is really good.
A bit of other lower league stuff for me. Bored on a Sunday. Bit of football's on. Oh, Tranmere Stevenage. Not ideal. I'm not going to lie. But actually, I tell you what, the one thing it was a glamour tie.
They've got 5 points clear now, Tranmere, haven't they?
No, that's it. But the pitch was... Honestly, I swear I play on a better pitch on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, some of the pitches
are
bad.
There was no grass left on it.
No.
There was no grass left. And it was, to be fair, I only watched the first half, and I'm glad I did. It was a very entertaining first half. It was 3-1 at half time. Finished 3-1 Tranmere. But it was, especially that first half, it was a good bit of showpiece for the low leagues.
There'll be a good game there this Good Friday as well. Tranmere, top of the league against Sheffield United. Who are in the playoff places as well. That's a pretty decent pick of upcoming games in the lower league.
Pompey had a good result.
Pompey did beat in Coventry, although I've got to say...
Coventry in trouble,
Coventry are in trouble. They're in administration now. They're going to get docked 10 points. Thank God for them. They're clear of the relegation zone, so that shouldn't be a worry. Yeah. But they've had to move all the staff out of the Ricoh Arena as well.
Anyone seen what happened at Southend?
Oh, yes.
This is really out of order.
It's
a real strange story. So, I don't know if there's any Southend followers.
Matt, my old housemate, is a massive Southend
fan. Actually, my boss is a Southend fan. Paul Sturrock has been sacked, relieved of his duties of running the team. Phil Brown is now running the squad. But obviously, you've got the final of the Johnson's Plate Trophy, which is happening in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
And Paul Sturrock's going to lead the team out.
And he's in charge of the team.
I really hope he comes out and says, right, we'll sit nine up front.
This is it. Because we were actually talking about this, and we'll just really briefly, you don't need any motivation for a cup final, right? You don't need any motivation.
You shouldn't anyway.
No, you shouldn't. You're
I know
a cup
where
final,
come
right?
From here,
so,
yeah.
But it's either then it's not kind of the whole. Do you do it at one last hurrah for the manager? You know, like right. I think that one.
I agree
last,
with you on this. I think it might just happen.
Depends on. I think it depends on the relationship with the players and the manager. If they love him, it'll be even more motivation to be like, right, lads, one last one. For me, or you know, not him for me, saying like, right, let's do it for the gaffer before he goes, let's do it.
Popular figure at the club as well,
is, I think that's going to be even more motivation. Then the flip side of it is that do you want someone managing the team that knows he's got no future and doesn't give a shit what happens? Yeah. Or does he give a shit? Like, it's a bizarre one to think that he's been sacked, but he's.
No, their league form has really fallen off in the last 10 games.
Yeah, because they were up there.
They were up there. Yeah. They're now definitely not going to get in. Well, I say definitely not. It's a very slim chance.
If Cyprus can qualify for the World Cup, Southend can achieve anything. Yeah.
From our optimist, Mike Coxon, I suppose they could get in the playoffs. But
it's unlikely.
Paul Sturrock, when he took over at Southend, you know, the club had absolutely no money at all, so there were no real expectations on him, and he's actually probably got the club playing above, you know, where they should have been anyway. So I think he's probably a victim of his own success.
To an extent,
we have to bosh out a few.
Go on.
Right. Neville being arrested over.
Well, I was
innocent until proven guilty. But
hilarious!
What a naughty boy!
Hilarious!
Indecent exposure. And speaking of which,
amazing.
Speaking of which, Norwich have completed the signing of Ricky Van Wolfsburg.
Oh, they listened to me!
Amazing.
In the summer,
absolutely amazing.
So also, I have dream.
Also amazing. Going to throw in. Do you remember the Paddy Power? Paddy Power, I must say, legend.
Their advert at Chelsea.
Yes, do you remember that? Have you seen what they've done now?
Done
so you know that they actually, and Chelsea actually...
They made them have it taken down.
Made them have it taken down. Do you know what they've done? It's amazing. Paddy Power has now parked a van directly underneath where the billboard was outside Stamford Bridge with exactly the same original advert there on a digital side of the van with exactly the same thing. Fernando, we've got an onion bag you can actually find. It's in the burger van, mate. Get your hairnet on. The exact same thing, but they put it on the side of a van underneath the original sign.
That van's going to get smashed in.
Well, but that's it. But there's nothing they can legally do about it. It's just a van that's parked there. So Paddy Power of just a little jab back, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Bloody
Speaking of absolutely brilliant,
go on.
Anyone heard of Andrew Cassidy?
No,
I bet you haven't.
Maybe. Oh, yes, I have.
The ex-Welsh fisherman who has become an internet sensation. It is amazing. And I'll tell you what.
I've seen that film.
It is unbelievable. His mad freestyling skills, right? This geezer's 20 stone. He's an ex-fisherman. He's down the docks every day. He lost his fisherman's job in 2002. It doesn't say what he's done since, but it does say that he's... He spends 2 hours a day in the car park practicing his freestyling football skills, and there is a video of it, and it is absolutely.
We'll get that up on the website.
It is outstanding. So outstanding that he's been invited to guest star at the World Freestyle Football Championships in Dubai in their opening ceremony.
Fair enough.
It is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, nice one.
And elsewhere, a few other little things. Nigel Adkins, Reading manager. I was drinking with a Reading fan on Friday night.
I was drinking with Nigel Adkins.
I think he's going to need to drown his sorrows pretty soon because the Reading fans don't want him. He did a good job at Southampton. I think he could maybe get Reading up next season, but he's not the man to save him, it seems.
Speaking of not being wanted, though, how out of order is Kevin Davies being told on his 36th birthday that he's not getting a new contract?
Yeah,
bless him.
How out of order is that on his birthday?
He has been offered a testimonial, though.
Oh, that's all right.
I'd like to know what our Boltonian friend Nick thinks of that. Cravat Nick.
Actually, we'll have to remind
I wonder
him
if
about
Kevin
that,
Davis
yeah.
has done anything to Bolton Nick's missus.
Blatantly.
I'll tell you something.
I wouldn't be surprised.
After the last show that Nick was on, I stayed for a pint with him afterwards. But yeah, some great chat. He's got more stories.
He's wasted, isn't he?
I can't wait until he's back. One quick thing to sum up. Melbourne Heart. Yeah, the dream's over. The dream's over. Losing 2-0 to Brisbane Roar. Now, in the last game of the season, they've got a trip to Central Coast. And they've got to hope that Melbourne Victory, the bastards, do us a favour and get a result in Wellington to save them from the wooden spoon. And one last thing, we've got some
listener comments.
Hang on, I didn't throw it in last week though, and purposely for Sean Miller, just to rub it in, Brighton thumping Palace 3-0. I didn't mention it last week.
We'll talk about it every week if it upsets Sean
absolutely
Miller.
Absolutely thumping Palace in the derby, and I've said that in 5 days, but it's not derby, is it? But
it's not.
But Sean Miller, 3-0, suck it.
Take that, boy. We've got some long overdue iTunes reviews that I'm going to whiz through. Thank you for sending them in. As always, we'll try and read them out. Obviously, this is a bit delayed, so maybe if you do a review this week, we'll read out in 3 weeks.
Yeah, keep them coming.
First one, favourite podcast by Wilcox1981. Who I think is Mike Wilcox, our friend off Twitter. Good to speak to you. It's an interesting take on the week's football. Lots of banter and honest points of view. Only setback recently is the amount of Bale loving. Well, Dan's just gone up to the pisser, and we couldn't agree with you more. Luckily, Tottenham have been doing very well.
We don't like
good show, boys. Keep it coming. Thank you for that, Mr. Wilcox. Then we've got, well, there was nothing on the telly by Spurs Dan, which is a 5-star review, as was the last
one. That's not Dan Silver, is it?
It's not Dan Silver. We suspected it was. It's actually Dan Willett from Hastings, who is a friend of the show. He said, every person or animal in Hastings listens to the podcast now. Says it all. Download now. Cheers for that, Dan. And finally, awesome football podcast, 5-star, by Beanie the Gooner.
I wonder who he supports.
Yeah, Dan's going to like him. Great to get home.
Don't
put my feet
what he
up.
Says.
He's being nice. Be nice to him. Oh. Great to get home, put my feet up and listen to good, non-biased Dan views on football from up and down the leagues, full of great banter, and must listen. Cheers for that, Beanie. Like I said, if you review us, we'll try and read it out as soon as possible.
All.
We do love you all. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. You know what to do. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, complaints to @SimonHead, visit footballpodcast.co.uk, follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. I've just realised Connor Self never turned up, the bastard.
What a bastard.
I know, terrible, typical Cockney. But have yourself a lovely Easter and we'll be back next week.